Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, a registered dietitian. And this week's topic is how do hydration and dehydration impact your metabolism? And we are going to discuss this really just basic topic of hydration and fluid balance so that you understand that your body needs certain basic things. And I find that, especially in the bariatric community, hydration seems to be complicated. People don't desire to just drink plain water. They're hyper-driven for these flavored things. And although I think there is a time and a place, and I think there's, you know, nothing wrong with adding things and flavoring your water, and that, you know, doesn't make it wrong or bad. But I want you to understand that not getting adequate amount of fluids in the day impacts your hydration status and can lead to some dehydration problems that, in essence, do impact your metabolism and just your overall metabolic health. And it really can make a difference in how just the whole picture of your body is working. And this truly can be just a simple, tiny little pivot in your thinking and a tiny little, you know, flip in how your behaviors are and what you do on a regular basis to support this can go a long way. So really just focusing on really just the essentials of your body. You know, your body is 2/3 water. So if we don't maintain that balance and we stay in this state of dehydration for long periods of time or chronically, like I would guess some people do, I definitely, you know, question the big picture if this isn't one puzzle piece of the whole package of why your metabolism is struggling. So again, I like to highlight certain areas of health that can be just that little, you know, switch that you need to flip to make a difference in a big way. So for some people, you could really focus, just take, you know, a month to focus on getting adequate hydration, and that could truly make a huge difference in your overall health and how you feel, your energy level, how your blood sugar regulates, how your metabolism runs, and just, you know, essentially your energy level. So no one can deny that water really is important, and it does impact how your body works and how your body processes energy. And I would say that athletes probably know this pretty well. And, you know, 40 years ago, the yellow and red and blue-colored sports drinks that are on the market were developed and, you know, readily available because of the need to keep athletes hydrated. And that definitely kind of changed the world of sports in the way that we now understand how to keep you know, an athlete's energy stable and really just their functioning of their body optimized. But I will say, just a standard exerciser like myself, somebody who's active, somebody who moves their body, or maybe you're a person that who desires to do that, but you're not necessarily partaking in the activity that you want to because you don't have the energy. You don't feel like doing it. You don't feel motivated. This could be a piece of why you don't. And this is one area that I think you could really dial in and really help support yourself so that you maybe have the energy because you're hydrating properly. And now you'll feel that desire to move your body in the way that you enjoy. So hydration and its importance. So let's talk about the how your body needs this fluid balance and hydration status to keep things in proper alignment and overall balance. So our body will maintain a balance between the water intake and water loss through hydration. In addition, the hydration, so you know, the fluids that we consume is a way for our body to regulate temperature. It also plays a role in nutrient transport, waste removal, and kind of cellular communication, and other, you know, physiological roles. It also supports metabolic processes and is essential for various body fluids, such as in your blood and lymph. But let's talk about some of the important metabolic processes where hydration is involved. So one, efficient nutrient transport. So proper hydration really does aid in the transportation of essential nutrients across the cells. So your food is broken down into kind of small or, you know, simpler molecules that your body can manage by enzymatic reactions in the water and facilitating this nutrient absorption and energy production. So fluids are necessary, and your fluid and electrolyte balances are tightly regulated in your blood. It needs to maintain a proper balance in order for everything to work efficiently. And if you've ever been a person who maybe your potassium has been elevated or your sodium has been depleted, or vice versa with the potassium could be low, and maybe you have to take potassium supplements. So again, I think it's, you know, if you've had those things occur, and maybe it's been when you were really sick, or maybe it's been when you're healthy and you just have some underlying things that haven't been resolved that's impacting the absorption of these nutrients being transported. So the second one is thermoregulation. So your body temperature relies on the fluid to kind of keep its temperature in a good balance, in a way that you can sustain this temperature that your body creates. So hydration is essential for regulating your body temperature efficiently, and dehydration impairs your body's ability to regulate your core temperature, leading to an increased metabolic pressure. So again, the one main role of, you know, your hydration status is to regulate your body temperature. And that's why we sweat. So sweating is a way for your body to cool itself down. The next one is optimal energy utilization. So researchers have found that well-hydrated individuals have a higher resting metabolic rate, which can help them manage their weight and balance their energy levels. Also, it helps in waste elimination. So, you know, we've talked about detoxification and how your body's cells need that that turnover or that cleansing process that naturally occurs, which we talked about autophagy being one way. Well, if you need support in that, your, you know, fluids in general are going to help facilitate this waste elimination. So if you are in a dehydrated state, then that will impact your ability to move toxins efficiently. Water intake supports removing the waste products through your urine, also helping support through elimination through your feces. So all of this is part of the big picture of your body working as one system. So what about dehydration's impact on metabolism? One is a slowed metabolic rate. So dehydration can result in a decrease in your metabolic rate. And that is where your body will burn fewer calories during physical activity when it is lacking in sufficient water. The next one is decreased exercise performance, and your metabolism relies heavily on your movement, your body movement. If you want, one great way to boost your metabolism is to increase your activity level and increase specifically your muscle mass. So anytime you're moving your body, you are using muscles. But if you're very specific about, you know, building or focusing on muscle, then that will boost your metabolism and your ability to burn more calories. So in addition to impairing muscle function, dehydration may increase the perception of effort during a workout. So you might feel like, so when you're dehydrated, you might feel like, oh my gosh, this workout is really hard. Whereas if you were properly hydrated, you would not necessarily feel like that workout was as challenging. So again, I think I'm not saying you wouldn't, challenge yourself in growing through, weight increases, like you're increasing the weights on the machine, or you're lifting heavier weights. What I'm saying is physically you're going to, that perception of the exertion that you need or the energy that you need to outlay to do something could totally be driven by dehydration. And it's one of those things that you just feel like, I just don't have my mojo. I don't have the get up and go feeling when I'm properly hydrated. So again, when you feel kind of low with, or unmotivated with moving your body or using your muscles, it could be that you're improperly hydrated and that's what's contributing to keeping you in this vicious cycle, because maybe the fluids that you consume during the day have caffeine in them, or maybe you don't consume many fluids, you don't feel thirsty, you don't feel those urges to drink, and you don't. So now you are kind of underhydrated and you don't even know it. The next one is hormonal imbalances. So some hormones, including those involved in your metabolism, are disrupted by dehydration. And dehydration can raise cortisol levels, contributing to metabolic dysfunction. Again, I've talked about cortisol before, and what will happen is the higher your cortisol level is, the more you're going to gain in your midsection. And cortisol is that stress hormone that our body needs. And it's what actually, so if you have a low blood sugar, it's your cortisol that rises that blood sugar back up when it drops too low. So again, if you're feeling like maybe cortisol is part of the picture, but you're having these energy issues, you're having these craving issues, hunger issues, in combination, it literally could be because you're dehydrated, which then increases cortisol, and the cortisol impacts your blood sugar balance. And if you see where I'm going, it's all connected. So this is, again, a very important reason why maintaining a good hydration status and avoiding or keeping yourselves out of dehydration is so important. Although I know it seems too simple and you're like, okay, so I should drink some water. Sure, I know that. 8 glasses of water today. That is great, but there are other ways that you can approach fluids as well. Some people will say half your body weight in ounces of fluid and non-caffeinated fluids, and that is great too. I think you do have to dial it into how you feel and really just personalize this, because you may need less. Some people don't need, you know, eight-ounce glasses of fluid a day. And some people need a gallon. So it truly depends on you as the person. So don't get so hung up on maybe the number. Get a baseline, work with your practitioner and say, okay, where should I start? And I would say for most of my patients, I like starting with half your body weight in ounces of caffeine-free fluids. And if you're drinking caffeine, which I'm not opposed to, if you're drinking caffeine, just replace it. So if you drink, 8 ounces of coffee, 1 or 2 cups a day, then drink, 1 or 2 8-ounce glasses to replace it. So again, finding that balance, but then also being intentional about, the package of what helps get the fluids into the cells, which is the optimal goal. So what about your hydration influence on blood sugar and insulin levels? So in addition to quenching your thirst, hydration profoundly affects your blood sugar and insulin balance. And if your body is dehydrated, the volume of the blood decreases. So again, this is all tightly regulated, which causes the glucose in your blood to be concentrated. And in turn, your insulin, so now we have a higher level of glucose in the blood, maybe not because you're excessively eating carbohydrates, or you're eating sugars, or you're poorly eating, I guess is a better way to say it. It's not because you are poorly eating. It's because of the dehydration that has occurred, and now the glucose is more concentrated in your blood, which triggers more insulin to be produced. So when you are dehydrated, your insulin sensitivity decreases, and we want you to be very insulin sensitive. We like a high insulin sensitivity because that means insulin is doing its job and it's not resistant to doing its job. Then if you flip it and say adequate hydration, this facilitates efficient glucose transport and utilization and disposal, and contributing to a better control of blood sugar levels. So again, it goes back to finding that balance that works for you. There's a study titled A Journey Through the Early Evidence Linking Hydration to Metabolic Health. And this reviews the early evidence that hydration positively affects metabolic health. According to the authors, a decrease in insulin sensitivity and increased glucose production can result from dehydration. They reviewed evidence that water supplementation can reduce insulin resistance and fasting glucose levels. So again, think of it this way. If you don't drink much water and your only fluids that you are drinking come from caffeinated sources, you could be in a chronic state of dehydration and not even recognize it. If I kind of go back to that hormonal piece, menopausal women have, drinking to thirst is great for some people, but not great for all people, because menopausal women can not have that same urge or thirst to drink fluids. So, and I've had patients, lots of patients, that they're like, I just don't get thirsty. I never feel thirst. It doesn't remind me to drink. I don't have those cues to drink on a daily basis. So it's kind of like I'm having to set reminders to just drink. And I think that's true for a lot of people. And I think this simple piece of hydration and correcting dehydration is a big piece that can have, it's actually a small piece that can provide a huge benefit. So something so simple as proper hydration really can make a big difference in one's health and metabolism. So anytime your glucose is more concentrated and your insulin is being triggered, and especially if it comes, you know, more resistant, and you have more insulin resistance, then you are going to have metabolic problems and your metabolism is going to be impacted, because now we're talking prediabetes, type 2 diabetes is at the driver. And now, if you got down to the root of it, you know, it's probably a whole cascade of things, and that could have started with just you're chronically dehydrated. So I'm gonna go into the how of hydration affects blood sugar and insulin levels. And this is the antidiuretic hormone, or ADH. ADH is a hormone that is released by the pituitary gland when dehydration occurs. And increase in the reabsorption of water in the kidneys by the ADH helps conserve the water. And a high ADH level causes less water to be excreted in the urine, which can make you more dehydrated. Then, as a result of dehydration, the liver produces more glucose. Whenever the liver detects that the body is not receiving enough water, glucose is produced. And then when we talk about insulin resistance, insulin aids the body in using glucose for energy. Remember, it's kind of the one that unlocks the cells to get sugar into the cell so that you have energy to go do, be, and have fun. Glucose isn't readily absorbed by cells when they become resistant to insulin. So when insulin's like, nope, I'm not doing this, not unlocking that cell, maybe cortisol is elevated and it's blocking that. Or maybe it's just because your blood glucose is just chronically elevated and now it's producing insulin too much, and it's directly related to your diet. So the result can be an increased blood sugar level, and then insulin resistance can also be caused by dehydration. And this is because the cells in the pancreas that produce insulin are susceptible to damage by dehydration. So the longer you're dehydrated, the bigger the chance that you could damage those pancreatic cells. Then we've got to combine the glucocorticoids. And these are produced by your adrenal glands. And insulin sensitivity can be decreased by these hormones. So these are things like your cortisol, epinephrine, adrenaline, all of those fight or flight response hormones that is there to serve us when we need our body to do something quickly, and we need to channel all of our energy. It's not time to digest food. It's not time to worry about, you know, your female hormones, your sex hormones for, you know, ovulation. Your body's main focus is whatever the threat is, we need to have fuel to provide energy quickly. And the more that these adrenal hormones are produced, then the higher, you know, messaging that occurs with your glucose and your insulin, which impacts your metabolic health and essentially your metabolism. Let's talk about hydration, your lean muscle mass, and your muscle performance. hydration plays a role in your lean body mass. So that's that muscle tissue, and really just how well your muscles and how strong your muscles can be to support your own body weight, but then to be able to do the things that you are wanting to do. Maybe it's to go for a walk or ride your bike or do, you know, some type of fun thing, or even like yoga, or, you know, doesn't have to be in quote unquote exercise, but, you know, hiking, biking, just doing regular stuff around your house, even like, you know, vacuuming your house or standing to cook a meal or do your dishes. You need muscle strength for that to occur. And hydration plays a role in this muscle tissue and how well your muscle can perform. And water is abundant in the skeletal muscles, and dehydration can compromise muscle function, resulting in early fatigue, reduced strength, and diminished endurance. So again, you see those signs or those symptoms that you could be experiencing. You just feel no motivation to do things. You don't have, you know, you maybe don't feel weak, but you don't have the muscle strength to do some of the things that maybe you did last week or, you know, 2 days ago or yesterday, because dehydration is driving it. Muscle protein synthesis, which is the building and repairing of muscle tissue, requires optimal hydration. It contributes to the maintenance of electrolyte balance, which is really essential for the proper contraction of muscles and for their performance of, you know, your whole body. Now let's kind of roll into the gut microbiome and hydration. We know that in recent years, the gut microbiome has become more evident of its importance. And these trillions of microorganisms that reside in your digestive tract impact your overall health. And staying hydrated is important for your overall gut health as well. Because they facilitate, so hydration facilitates that mucin production. And I have talked about the mucin layer multiple times, and that mucin layer, it just sits on the top of all these little villi that is lining your intestines, you sitting on top of these little hair-like structures that this is where you absorb the nutrients and all of your vitamins, minerals. It's a protective barrier. All of this mucin layer is, you want it thick. You want a thick mucin layer to sit on top here so that you protect and you keep that, that gut barrier strong. Without the mucin layer, that is when you have problems with intestinal permeability, things slipping through that shouldn't be slipping through. And I've talked about before that mucin layer, how important it is that you have short chain fatty acid production, because that's what increases that mucin layer. And when you don't eat adequate fiber from fiber filled carbohydrates, then you have lower mucin levels, because your gut bacteria actually feed off of the mucin. It will eat that mucin layer to stay alive. They need fuel. And if you don't provide it with fiber, it's going to consume that mucin layer, and now you're not protected. And that's when a lot of people have problems with digestive issues, and that stem into autoimmune problems and skin problems, and the list goes on and on. But mucin production is compromised by dehydration. And what that means is it weakens your gut barrier and increases susceptibility to, you know, all kinds of gut problems or gut diseases. But by maintaining adequate hydration levels, you contribute to a health of your gut barrier and the gut microbiome, which in turn contributes to your metabolic and immune systems. It kind of occurs because of your lacking a certain necessary property that impacts. We know that your gut microbiome impacts your metabolic health, your blood sugar and insulin regulation. It impacts appetite. It impacts GLP-1, ghrelin, leptin. All of that is connected. And not to mention also your immune system, all of those things are connected. A cross-sectional study examined healthy adults' hydration status, their gut microbiome, and immune function. And the study found that the gut microbiome composition of people with lower hydration status differed from those with higher hydration status. They found that the lower hydration levels express more pro-inflammatory cytokines and fewer anti-inflammatory cytokines. So that means there's going to be more inflammation because of those pro-inflammatory cytokines. According to these findings, the gut microbiome and the immune function may be regulated by hydration status. Additionally, the study found that the following factors were associated with lower hydration status. The males, higher BMI, lower levels of physical activity, and higher intakes of soft drinks. So all of those influenced your hydration status. Overall, the study's findings suggest that hydration status is an important factor for maintaining healthy gut microbiome and immune function. What about hydration's link to fat distribution? And there's some research that appears to be a connection between hydration status and fat distribution. Low hydration levels may increase obesity risk, altering fat distribution patterns compared to well-hydrated individuals. Now we're going to talk about electrolytes and minerals, kind of the vital components of hydration. And not only do you need water, but you have to have a way to transport the water into the cell, kind of like, you know, glucose and insulin. You need a transporter. And that's where electrolytes and minerals come into play. And these are electrolytes such as magnesium, sodium, and potassium are essential for nerve function, muscle contraction, fluid balance, and pH regulation. And electrolyte replenishment is essential for any type of exerciser. So anybody who's doing physical activity, especially the more intense, the more important it is. Muscle cramps, irregular heartbeats, and impaired metabolic processes can result from electrolyte imbalances caused by inadequate hydration. So what are some of the hydration status indicators? So how do you know if you're adequately hydrated? One could be your urine color. And yellow or clear urine can indicate good hydration, but a dark yellow or amber urine indicates dehydration. So think of like a lemonade would be hydrated and an apple juice would be dehydrated. That's kind of my easy way of thinking of it. What about urine-specific gravity? This measures the concentration of the dissolved solids in the urine. And low urine-specific gravity indicates dehydration. And this is something that your doctor's office can do. Body weight, dehydration can change in body weight. And a person who loses more than 1% of their body weight daily will likely be dehydrated. Your skin, when you pinch your skin and it tense and it stands up, is an indicator of your hydration status. So if it doesn't immediately go back down, but it actually can stand up, then that can be an indicator that you are dehydrated. And then again, thirst. Not always the only way to kind of monitor your hydration status, but it is one. So for people that do have thirst, usually what we've always said is if you feel thirsty, you're already dehydrated. So again, you're getting to that point where you're past where you should be. So how can you stay hydrated? So again, paying attention and staying ahead of the thirst and not allowing your body to get so depleted. You know, carry around a water bottle. Make sure you always have something to drink with you, and not just like in your car. You carry it with you into appointments, into stores, into places, because it's easy for hours to go by and you haven't drank anything. You can set reminders and, you know, to on your phone. There's also water cups that actually have like ounces that are labeled on there. And there's actually some apps that will make noises, water noises, to remind you to drink. So again, it's all about, you know, finding the things that work for you, because your, you know, schedule and lifestyle and everything really does impact, you know, how you, what works best, really what works best for you. And then also limit your caffeine and alcohol. And I know my caffeine lovers hate to hear this, but caffeine does have a dehydrating effect because you are losing fluids. And you really have to think about this even more if you have stress issues or cortisol problems. The higher your stress level is chronically, then the more that your adrenals are going to, you know, we talked about that connection with your adrenals and their ability to release the fluids. So the more caffeine can actually increase your cortisol level. And because you're consuming the caffeine maybe throughout the day, then you might be increasing your cortisol, which is kind of contributing to that dehydration effect, because you're going to have more urination, or you're going to lose more fluid because of that. And then, of course, alcohol is just naturally a dehydrator. It automatically causes dehydration when you have alcohol. So, and it's one thing that you have to be cautious of. And something that I will say that I do when I drink alcohol is I make sure that I protect myself as much as possible, because I want to make sure I'm protecting my gut, because it can damage your gut lining. So, you know, I'm going to support it in ways when I have alcohol, so that one, I support my electrolytes, so I might add a pinch of the Redmond's Real Salt into my water. I might do some of our multi-support powder, because it's the glutamine that it's going to strengthen that gut barrier. And I'm going to support my liver, because now all the toxins that it was queued up to process has now been shelved and set on the side to kind of your body to just deal with. So if estrogen was in line and you have some alcohol, then it's going to process the alcohol first. So now your estrogen sits there not being processed, which again can raise that estrogen level, creating the next day problems, and you feel like, oh my gosh, it's my estrogen, my hormones are off, you know, I feel awful, I'm having high estrogen, when it's not that, it's because you had alcohol and now your liver's having to detoxify this toxin that you just drank first. And once that is finished, then it will deal with the estrogen. So again, it kind of creates that imbalance that you don't want. Make sure you're staying hydrated in hot weather, because this is when you can get dehydrated very quickly, because again, you're going to be sweating more. So again, that's your body's cooling system. So the more you know, fluids you lose through sweat. You'll notice, you know, some people can even get like a salty feel on their skin, and definitely you can get a salty taste on your skin, and that you're losing those salts. So you have to replace those. So because you've lost that. And if you don't, if you're not getting, you know, adequate salts in your diet, then that can contribute to inadequate hydration, because you're not going to have enough sodium to get the fluid into the cells. And then also you got to think about paying attention to medications. Some medications can affect your hydration levels, especially if you take like diuretics or blood pressure pills with diuretics in them. Those will definitely contribute to them. So again, the importance is when you drink water, you maybe start with half your body weight in ounces. Then at least once a day, if you're not active, at least once a day, adding some type of electrolyte. So if you're really good at using salt in your diet, I prefer the Celtic sea salt or the Redmond's Real Salt, because they have lots of additional minerals. So that's why I like the Redmond's Real Salt the most. And I purchase that mostly because of that, because it has additional minerals in it and is a great option. But the Celtic sea salt is another one that will have additional minerals. So having something like that is good. And then getting it into the cell requires a transporter. And there's two different transporters that are really effective. And one is potassium and one is sugar, glucose. So having some type of transporter mixed with it is good. And like they have a Redmond's Relight electrolyte powder that is good. There's other great ones out on the market. Element, LMNT, is a very highly commercialized one. Very high in sodium, which I'm not opposed to, but I would do a little bit more potassium with it, maybe mix it with some coconut water. And then there's a Body Bio, Relight or Elight, I think it is. That one's a favorite. It's a liquid and it's more in line with blood levels. So they're not excessive like the Element. So Element is just a little pouch or a tub scoop type thing that's very transportable. So it's great in that aspect. And the Body Bio is a liquid that is not as transportable. So, but it is more like your blood levels. So I do like that. And I have patients that will use that one as well. And it's just a great way to keep your hydration status in check. And again, I think finding what works best for your life, because I have some that, you know, they just don't do the Body Bio because it's in the refrigerator and it doesn't travel well with them. So, you know, they find the Element is a better match for them because of that, or the Redmond's Relight because it's, you know, more travelable. So in a pinch, so say you're traveling and you're in a pinch and you're like, okay, like when my husband and I have gone on bike rides and then we stop and eat somewhere and I've been sweating a lot and I know I need some hydration, what I will do is I will ask for like 3 lemon slices and I will just ask for whatever salt they have. And I will just do a tiny pinch of salt from just the salt packet, if they have it, since I don't have like my Redmond's Real Salt. Now I will say Redmond Real Salt does have a little travel pouch, it's like a little container, a real small container that you can take with you, like in your purse or in your backpack, or keep it with you. It would even fit in a pant pocket if you were a guy. So it would be an easy way to take with you to use. You would get a blend of a little more minerals, that you could get the potassium from lemon or lime wedges, and then get the salt from the sea salt from the Redmond's Real Salt. That would be one way, you know, like, but if you're traveling and you're not going to have, and you don't have Redmond's real salt, then just taking a packet of salt and sprinkling some in with some lemon wedges or lime wedges. You could even do, you know, one little splash of a sugar if you had to mix it up if they didn't have lemons and limes. That would be a transporter. You don't need much, so you're taking like a little packet, or you're taking like a little drop of honey, one drop of maple syrup, and you stir it up with the salt and you drink it. So again, you got to think about, I need a transporter. I need something to get it into the cells, and you got to think potassium and you got to think sugar. So those are the things that are going to give you the best results and keep you hydrated. I do a recipe of like a homemade electrolyte drink with some of my patients, especially who have a lot of sensitivities and a lot of gut problems. And, you know, we're not really sure what's driving it. Lots of foods are causing problems for them, so they are reacting. So I will use where you just take a juice. So you could pick whatever flavor of juice you like, maybe an apple juice, an orange juice, or something, and it will provide some potassium. And then you do water, you do like 32 ounces of water and maybe like 8 ounces of the juice, and then you do like a teaspoon of maple syrup, and then you do like an eighth of a teaspoon of the Redmond real salt. So pretty simple. And you mix it up in a pitcher and then you drink on that. But again, that's just kind of a homemade recipe, electrolyte drink recipe that you can do, that you can have at home, that would give you the transporters that you need to get the fluid into the cells so that your body can feel great. And that's the most important piece. So if you want your blood sugar balance to stay stable, your insulin levels to stay stable, so your metabolic health is good and you're not increasing your cortisol level, which again adds to that midsection weight and adds to that metabolic communication and that metabolism working efficiently, all of those things matter with your hydration status. So hopefully this all kind of makes sense, and we're just going to kind of wrap this up because it's a lot of information on something so simple. But again, you want this, your muscles need this, your gut health, fat distribution, cognitive function, blood sugar regulation, all of this needs proper hydration, and providing adequate electrolytes and water are the key piece. So if you have never really honed in or focused to making sure you are getting adequate fluids, but then also getting a little bit of electrolytes in, and then I didn't even go into if you're actually working out, what you do, but that's where you could work with a professional like myself who could really help guide you in finding the right amount of electrolytes that will help you and what type you need and which one is going to work the best, because all of this works together. Your body is one system, and one little thing like dehydration can derail a whole metabolic process that can derail your metabolism because you're improperly hydrated. So don't let that be you, and make sure that you are putting into place, you know, maybe take the next 30 days and just really focus on one, getting adequate fluids in and making sure that you're not consuming too many caffeinated beverages, but if you are, compensating and adding extra fluids, and then making sure you're getting some of those transporters and the electrolytes so that you actually get it into your cells. So I hope this makes sense, and this has maybe given you a new thought to consider when it comes to your metabolic health and supporting just an overall healthy metabolism. Something so simple as fluids and electrolytes could be so impactful in a way that you need to prioritize this to improve your health outcomes. So you guys have a great week, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.